Now, picture in your minds what happened here. Remember, Amaziah just went to battle with 300,000 men. He was about to borrow help of 100,000 men. Y'all remember that? The prophet said, don't do it. If you do that, you're going to surely be defeated. He listens to the word of the Lord. He goes to battle without him. God gives him success. But then in this success, you'll notice that this king, Amaziah, as he takes down these people from Samaria and from Seir and these different places, the Bible says that when he came back, he brought back the gods of the people of Seir and set up those gods for himself. And it makes you wonder, what is Amaziah doing here? Why is he doing that? God just spoke to him and said, you're going to have success because of me. You don't need the help of man. But then, in coming back, he brings back some of their gods. He sets them up in his own home or in his own office or in his own place. And the Bible says that the Lord was angry with him. And why not? God has promised him victory. God has promised him blessing, success. And here, for whatever reason, he goes and sets up these other gods in his own place. And he begins to worship them. What happened, Amaziah? Why did this take place? And so the Bible says God was angry, and he says, why? As the prophet even kind of makes a funny joke here in a way. He says, why are you seeking the help from the gods of the people who were not even able to deliver you or deliver them from your hand? Don't you realize, in essence, what he's saying? These gods that you're trying to worship now weren't even able to deliver them from your hand? Don't you realize how weak these things are in comparison to the mighty God that you are supposed to be serving? Why are you doing this? And so it says this, that while he was speaking, Amaziah says, have we made you the counselor to the king? Stop. Why should you be struck down? And like I said earlier, it's amazing how when our hearts begin to turn from God, how we begin to want to silence the word of the Lord. We don't want to hear reproof. We don't want to hear that we're veering off the wrong side. Instead, we want to silence that voice. And the Bible says the prophet stopped, but he said, I know that God has determined to destroy you because you have done this and have not heeded my advice. I remember one time I was talking to my brother, and he was kind of in church and outside of church. He was faithful for a little while, then he'd be out there partying, and then in and out. And so I remember he'd be on his way out the door, and one time I told him, I said, you know what, you're trampling on the blood of Jesus. And I got all hard on him, a little bit too hard. I said, why are you doing this? And whatever, and I told him, you need to stop this, and you need to repent, and whatever. And I remember he goes, and he says, yeah, whatever. And he just walks out, slams the door. And I remember another time, same situation, I was laying there, sitting down on the couch, whatever I was doing, relaxing, you know, relaxing in Jesus, I guess you can say. I was just there, he was about to go out the door to another party or something. And instead, I remember God spoke to me and he said, don't talk to him rough. Instead, tell him that I love him. And so as he was walking out the door, I said to him, I said, God loves you. He goes, yeah, I know, he loves you too. And then he slammed the door and left. And I remember later on, after God really got a hold of his heart, he would say, as he was walking out the door and he heard and said, God loves you, it hit him differently. And he says, I'd go to the party and I'd be standing around the bonfire. I'd be holding my can of beer. And he says, I would crack the beer open. But he says, all I would hear running over and over in my heart was, God loves you. God loves you. And he says, I'd be holding the can, but I could never lift it up to my mouth. Amen. Because God was dealing with him. And so, we must not silence the voice of God. Amen. Because as we begin to lose our way in whatever way it can be for you, it can be for me, God will speak to us because he loves us. God doesn't want us to be in the path of destruction. He wants to bless us. Amen? He wants to be glorified in and through your life and how He blesses your life. Because as you're being blessed, you're going to turn around and say, God has blessed me because I serve Him with all of my heart. And those people will say, wow. Like I said, there's a fragrance that comes out of a life that is serving God. I'm not talking about a tangible fragrance like roses, but it's a smell, there's a fragrance, there's an attractiveness to a life that serves God. And they will ask you, what's the reason? Why are you blessed? Why do you have joy when no one else does? Amen? And you can tell them all about Jesus. Amaziah here has foolishly begun to seek out other gods. And now the prophet has said very clearly that he is even going to be destroyed because of the fact that he has chosen to turn from God and his voice. And so we must always understand that God will speak. Listen. God has ways of speaking to us. Amen? He can speak from the Word of God as you read it. He can speak to you from the Word. Amen? I'm talking about words that will be very clear about your life, your future from this Word. Amen. He also speaks through circumstances. Circumstances can speak. Amen. Family members, friends, speak. Amen. And God can use their voice to speak into your life. God has many ways. And God can also speak to you. Amen. In your spirit and tell you specifics about your life, about what He wants to do with your life. But there's a closeness to God that we need to have. Amen. Draw near to Him. And He will draw near to you. I remember I was on my way to Bible school the second year. And I didn't want to go back. I was struggling then. Don't ask me why, I just was. But I was struggling to go back that second year. So this would have been in 96. And so finally I had got my Greyhound ticket. That was my form of travel initially. I was on the Greyhound. I was probably about halfway there on the bus. And I still remember, I was saying, Lord, I was just struggling, and I was being real with God. I don't want to go back. I mean, I had went. I mean, there was no turning back now. But as I was struggling there, I remember I was sitting in the chair of that bus, and it was night, and I remember seeing the lights passing, you know. And I'd already been on that bus probably for 12 hours, just sitting there. And so I was struggling, and I said, Lord, this is hard. I don't want to go back. And I remember God spoke to me right there. And I remember He said, I am going to use your life in the latter days. He says, I'm raising you up for the latter days. Don't ask me what that means, but that's what He said. And I was struggling, and little did I know what God would end up doing through my life that next year in school. But sometimes going the path of God is not always easy on the flesh. It's not always easy. I mean, it's easier to go the other way. Oh, man, when you're going to follow God, He's going to cause you to die to yourself. I mean, Jesus said, if you follow me, you've got to take up your cross and follow me. It's not always easy to die. Amen? It's not easy to die. And I was dying. But He spoke to me, and He spoke some specifics. And He's spoken to me of other things, but those are for me and not for you. Amen? I'm only saying that to tell you God can speak to you as an individual. Just follow wholeheartedly after Him. And don't allow the enemy to deter you away from God. Turn to God with all of your heart, and He will speak. Amen? Now let's look at the consequences of his unfaithfulness. Verses 17 through 28, it says this. Remember, actions have consequences. Then Amaziah, king of Judah, received advice and sent for Joash, the son of Jehoash, the son of Jehu, king of Israel, saying, come, let us meet together. So Jehoash, king of Israel, sent a message from Amaziah, king of Judah, saying, a thistle in Lebanon sent for a cedar in Lebanon, stating, give your daughter to my son as a wife. Then an animal from the field in Lebanon passed by and trampled the thistle. You say that you have struck down Edom, and your heart lifts you up in arrogance. Now remain in your palace. Why do you provoke disaster so that you fall, you and Judah with you? Now this is a word coming to the king. But Amaziah would not listen. because this was from God, so that he might give them into the hand of Jehoash, because Amaziah had sought after the gods of Edom. And so Jehoash, the king of Israel, went up, and they faced each other, he and Amaziah, king of Judah, at Beth Shemesh, which is in Judah. And Judah was struck down by Israel, and each man fled to his house. So at the Beth Shemesh, Jehoash, king of Israel, seized Amaziah, king of Judah, the son of Joash, the son of Amaziah. And they brought him to Jerusalem and broke through the walls of the city from Ephraim Gate to the corner gate, a section of 400 cubits. And Jehoash took all the gold and silver and all the vessels that were found in the house of God with Obed-Edom, even the treasures of the palace of the king and hostages. Then he returned to Samaria. Now notice how everything is falling apart. He decides to turn from God and serve these weird gods. Weak, fake nothings. And now judgment is at the door. He was going well. Everything was going right, but he turned. And now everything is falling apart. Now, this king of Israel is in Judah. They're ransacking. They're taking over the whole place. All of his wealth and riches, they're taking for themselves. So anything that he had gained is now lost. And it's amazing how that takes place immediately. And the Bible says in verse 25, "And Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, lived 15 more years after the death of Jehoash, the son of Jehoash, king of Israel." Now the rest of the acts from the first to the last, are they not written, so on and so forth. And from the time that Amaziah turned aside from the Lord, they plotted a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem. And he fled to Lachish. They sent for him and put him to death in Lachish. They brought him on horses, buried him in his father's, the city of David. Now, all of that to say, and you can see, the consequences of his turning from God brought despair, destruction, even poverty. You'll notice everything fell apart because he turned in his heart from God. How many of you want to be blessed? Well, then we must seek God with all of our hearts. Amen? But if we will turn, then things will begin to fall apart, and it's just that simple. Now, let's look at Uzziah real quick, because the clock is getting the best of us already. But he is beguiled by pride. I want you to see this in 2 Chronicles 16, chapter 26, verses 16 through 18. Look what happens to him. Remember, he had gotten very strong. Verse 15, it says he was even more powerful. That's how verse 15 closes. And it says, and he grew strong, and his heart grew more proud. Ooh, that's a scary thing, pride. Leading to his destruction, the chronicler writes. Then he acted unfaithfully against the Lord his God, for he entered the temple, main hall of the Lord, to burn incense on the altar. But Azariah the priest entered in after him, and with him were 80 priests of the Lord, men of valor. And they stood against King Uzziah and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, for it is for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Leave the sanctuary, because you have been unfaithful, and there will be no honor for you from the Lord." Now, this is a scary thing that happens here. Uzziah didn't serve other gods like Amaziah had. But in his pride, and he's getting puffed out, he thinks that he's in such a place that he could enter into the temple of God and offer incense to God, because maybe he thinks he's just that good. But that was a position that was not to be a king's position or anyone else's, but the priests that were called of God to offer those sacrifices alone. And so Azariah rises up along with these men of valor, and they stand him to the face and say, "You're not allowed to do this. You're unfaithful. Only those priests that have been consecrated can do this." And he says, "Because you've been unfaithful, there will be no honor for you." I mean, this man is doing something that he should not be doing. It's a scary place. There is something scary. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. We all know what backsliding is. That's when a person is serving the Lord and they begin to fall away from God. We call them backslidden. Amen? They once served God, now they're backslidden. There's something even more scary with front sliding. When someone begins to think that they're all that and that God's just going to do everything through them and they're God's man of power for the hour, and they've gone spiritual pride. This man thinks he's all that. I can offer the sacrifices or this sacrifice of incense here. And now he's being stood to the face, and look what happens here as he is doomed by his pride. Pride will bring his fall. 19 through 21, look what happens. Uzziah was enraged. That means he was furious, mad. And in his hand was a censer for incense. And when he became angry with the priests, leprosy appeared on his forehead in front of the priests in the house of the Lord near the altar of incense. Can you imagine that? He gets mad. He gets angry with them. He thinks, what are you trying to tell me this for? I am me. I am so powerful. I'm so strong. It's all this blessing is because of me. So he gets mad, and all of a sudden leprosy appears on his forehead. And the Bible says, then Azariah, the head priest, and all the priests turned to him, and he had leprosy on his forehead, and they hastened to remove him from there. And he also hurried to leave because the Lord had struck him. You see, he thought, I'm doing something right, but it was wrong. And now leprosy is there, and I'm sure when those priests turned and saw him, they said, whoa, we got to get him out of here because no unclean thing was allowed in the house of God. So they're ready to get out of him, and the Bible, get him out of there. And the Bible says that Uzziah himself begins to get up and leave because he realizes, I've just been struck by the Lord in this. And I'm sure in his heart, this pride is now being humbled, and he's getting out of Dodge in a way, right? So the Bible says in verse 21, so King Uzziah had leprosy until the day of his death. He dwelt in a separate house with his unclean disease because he was cut off from the house of the Lord. Then Jotham, his son, was over the house of the king, and he governed the people of the land. Pride had caused his downfall. Pride. You see, there's pride, thinking that you're all that. Then there's spiritual pride. And we've got to guard our hearts against all pride. Amen? But what's beautiful about these stories is this. Is that while these men sought God and were faithful to their God in sincerity and in truth, God blessed them with success, with prosperity. Everything worked out well for their lives. Amen? Now, I can guarantee it wasn't perfection. There's no such thing as perfect existence. But their lives were going well. But then when these two individuals in their hearts turned from the living God, whether it was worshiping other gods or thinking that they were above God's divine order, when their pride, it all got to their heads and they turned from God, it brought their destruction. And pride, like I said in the very beginning, is one of the things that will bring a man down the quickest. We must always guard ourselves against pride and not ever look down on other people. Remember what Jesus said, like I said earlier, the high place in the kingdom of God is the lowest place. Amen. We must humble ourselves in the presence of God, and God will lift us up. Amen. But all of that to say this as well, as you seek God with all of your hearts and you determine not to turn away from Him, God is going to bless your way. Seek Him with all of your hearts now. Amen? And do that with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and God will meet you where you are. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this lesson today. And even though Amaziah and Uzziah made some foolish decisions in turning from You, I pray that You would help us, Lord, to choose the right way always. Lord, we're heading into a new year. And I pray that, Lord, You would help us as Your people to have that steadfastness of heart and that decision to put You first no matter what. Lord, it doesn't matter what happened in 2017. It's gone. We can't go back. We can't turn back the clock. But I pray that every one of us would determine in our hearts even now to put You first and follow after You with all of our hearts. We thank You for all that You have done. Use this lesson to speak to us throughout the week, we pray. And we pray that You'd bless the remainder of our service together. We ask it all in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you all.